more frustrated you look, the more people think you're busy.
A modern podcast where Chris and Mike talk about TV, movies, superheroes, and everything in between. It's time for Superhero Slate.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Slate, the show where we run down the latest superhero entertainment news.
We love TV, movies, and superheroes, so let's talk it all out.
My name's Chris Dillard.
And my name's Mike Royer.
And we have a lighter week than usual.
Yeah, it's a little light, man.
Yeah, Suicide Squad keeps leaking set photos.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor Strange conjures up some controversy.
Ooh, I'll be excited to hear about that.
Mm-hmm. TMNT2 is still Mike's favorite.
Oh, God.
And more.
Oh, man. So when I was watching the first Turtle movie, my favorite part was when they're in the elevator and they're doing that like beatboxing thing just before their final fight. And I follow the main guy from Epic Mealtime on YouTube on Snapchat, Harley Plays or whatever. And like last night on Saturday, he put up like a string of Snapchats where he was analyzing each turtle's facial expressions in that specific scene. And I was just like, dude, you're like super rich with that YouTube money. What are you doing on a Saturday night analyzing the turtles?
That I wish I had that kind of free time / money on my hands.
Oh yeah, I want that YouTube money so I can just go on Snapchat and just analyze CG characters.
Yes, we are on YouTube for listeners who are just on iPhone.
Oh yeah,
or Android, or even our website. Our YouTube video actually includes some extras, so you don't have to click on links in the notes.
Yeah, and you work really hard on that.
Thank
you. You deserve people watching it.
I appreciate it. Just to give people a heads up, I have a guest with me today.
Oh yeah, what's going on over there?
His name is Kuro.
Oh, okay.
It's a cat.
Oh.
It's a guest kitty staying in our guest bedroom for the weekend because its owner is in a place that has someone who's allergic to cats.
Oh, so if they're watching this on YouTube right now, will a picture of the cat pop up?
Yes, they will see the cat and me.
Oh, okay. And if it went away, if it like just disappeared, it's gonna pop up right now.
Oh my gosh.
And now it's gone. It's gone.
Oh, okay. Man, that was so quick. I mean, honestly, like, his name's Kuro, which is Japanese for black. And He's pitch black, awesome little cat, but he's, like, rubbing on things and chirping and having a good old time.
Oh, man, cats are the best. I wish I wasn't allergic to them. For some reason, I wasn't super allergic to them growing up, but as soon as I moved out of the house, like, any sort of tolerance I had went away, and I can't be in a house with cats anymore.
Well, I'm sorry. It's okay. And then you probably won't want to come here because we're the Grand Kitty Pest Hotel. Is what
I like that. I like that pun, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess that's enough play on words for today. Mm. Let's just jump right into this.
Yeah, what do we got, man? What's up first?
Suicide Squad, something I want to talk about.
Oh, man.
Mostly because it's been blowing up my news feed all week.
Mm-hmm.
Same photos, same news over and over again.
Yeah.
Batman showed up.
Oh man, that's big news. I mean, we've heard rumors that, you know, Bruce Wayne or Ben Affleck was on set, but you know, who knows? You know, all these movies are connected. Maybe he just wanted to rub shoulders with some of the actors. We didn't really necessarily know if he was going to be in the movie.
Yeah, I've been saying for months now that Suicide Squad is the Batman movie we're getting before a solo Batman movie. Like, it's got all the Batman villains and characters, and now actually Batman himself. We've got some photos that we've seen, some videos have shown up. I mean, it's all the same thing, right?
Yeah.
First off, the Batmobile showed up before Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And we got two photos of this. The first one, you know, just Batmobile driving down the road. But we want to notice there's no gun turret on it, like the one from Batman versus Superman.
Mm-hmm. Now, it makes me wonder, because I'm looking at the picture right now, and there is kind of like a nook. There's like a little curvature there of where the gun turret would sit. It makes me wonder if like they're just gonna add it in there with CG, or maybe like when Batman just like goes out to cruise to town, you know, to go to the grocery store, maybe he just doesn't equip the turret because he doesn't think he's gonna need it.
Well, see, that's the best time to use the turret is when you go to the grocery store.
Oh yeah,
Gotham is a horrible place to be, and you know, he's driving down to the Gotham Walmart and you know, I don't want to know those kind of people who go there.
Something tells me Batman shops at Whole Foods and not Walmart.
Well, I mean, Bruce Wayne may shop at Whole Foods, but Batman's got an appearance to keep.
Yeah, Batman, he's got to seem like one with the people.
Yeah, if he wants justice, only Walmart has justice at great low prices.
But, I mean, if you're looking at this Batmobile, this thing is not fitting in a parking spot. This thing is super wide.
Yeah, he's probably one of those people who parks out in the back in, like, four spots of the parking lot. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't affect anybody, but he's still taking up four spots. We all know what he's doing.
Yeah, but I think they'll probably let it slide since he's protecting the city.
Right. Yeah. What tow truck's going to pick that up?
I would be surprised to see that. That's going to be the post-credit scene, is his Batmobile trying to get towed.
Getting towed. That would be beautiful. If I could make fan films, it'd be the Batmobile getting towed.
Hey, that might make a good webcomic.
Oh, write that down.
Oh, I will.
But I think you're right. Back to the main point. I think you're right. You know, Iron Man 1, as an example, they use a lot of actual armor on Robert Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. And then 2 and 3 in Avengers and Age of Ultron, they started to figure out what they could CG and what they didn't need to actually have on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. They filmed with the Batmobile with a gun turret. Now they can actually go back in and add CG because they know that'll probably be the best way to put it on there.
Yeah, but I think more importantly, like, what do we think Batman's role is going to be in this movie? Like, obviously, I'm going to say I think this might qualify as more than a cameo. I think that he actually might affect the plot, but I really don't think he's going to be a main player in this movie. I don't think he's going to drive too much of it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the same thing with him and the Joker. Mm-hmm. I think they're both, like, part of there to tie this into something larger.
Mm-hmm.
But the story itself is going to be tied to the main squad there without mm-hmm. them. Something I saw today, we talked about this earlier, is David Ayer said, you know, he's going dark. He's not going to post any more set photos because there are bigger surprises still to come.
Yeah, I mean, that really makes me curious because it's like this already would have been a huge surprise. Maybe they just figured that there's no way that they could hide it. You know, that really makes me wonder. I'd like to talk to someone who's worked on a big movie set before, specifically for something this popular. Like, do they know ahead of time that, like, there's no way we can make Batman a secret in Suicide Squad because we have to get the Batmobile out on the street and film it, and there's no way we can make that secret. So I think they probably have to make conscious decisions at the beginning of production that, oh, Batman's just not going to be secret. We got to find another way to do this.
Yeah, I think a lot of when the movies start filming in studios, like within like the studios themselves, mm-hmm. that's whenever they can keep the best secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they probably need, like, we have to do this car chase outside and Batman has to be on top of this car. And, like, we have to do it outside. So we might as well show it now and then just do everything else inside that we can.
Yeah, speaking of that video is pretty cool. That little video or series of videos that are up on Instagram of Batman cruising on top of that pink sports car or pink, red, whatever it is.
Yeah, funny thing about that is that it's, you know, not Ben Affleck. it's just funny to see that. So, yeah.
Well, it's cool either way. No one's going to diss Batman being in a movie. We're just more curious what role he's going to play.
Yeah, totally, totally. If you guys know, send it our way. We want that scoop.
Yeah, give us the scoop.
Double scoop it. Two Suicide Squad scoop. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. No. whatever. We're gonna go to Civil War. Something we know probably has just as many set photos
mm-hmm.
as Suicide Squad, but probably less revealing.
Mm-hmm.
So the newest photos this week, early on this week actually, showed Damien Poitier on set. Damien Poitier, I think he's the son of actor Sidney Poitier, or some relation of sort.
Mm-hmm.
And we know he's been in a Marvel movie already.
Which one was that?
He's been in The Avengers, the first one.
What was he?
He played Thanos at the end.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was actually the character they used to play Thanos whenever he turns his head and does a smile.
Oh, do you think he's bummed that he didn't get the Thanos role?
I would say he can't be too bummed if he's working with him again.
Yeah, maybe this is like a consolation prize. Like, oh, we're sorry we used your likeness in your face to be this character that you're not going to end up being. So let's throw you in the movie with it. Looks like some Under Armour co-sponsorship.
Yeah, I don't think he's had many, like, main roles that I can think of off the top of my head. But you know, that's a start, to work with, to be Thanos, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think Josh Brolin's probably a better choice anyway. We're not going to get into that Thanos, who should play Thanos, cause they've already decided. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that in this photo, he looks definitely like he's from Wakanda, I would think.
Yeah. Some sort of, I mean, he looks like he's got to have some sort of like fighting or military background, cause he's jacked. Uh-huh. And he's got some sort of like equipment strapped to him. We can't really see what it is. It's going to be interesting to see if he's going to be any sort of hero or not. Maybe he's obviously going to be more than an extra, but I don't see him having any sort of superpowers.
Yeah, I don't think so either. What I've heard is that he's wearing the same outfit that the people who are working with Crossbones.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing the same outfit, but possibly that he's like an undercover person.
Oh.
For like Wakanda infiltrating that Crossbones squad.
Man, well, if we're gonna speculate that far, you know, maybe we're gonna get some spy movie flavor in this. You know, that's one thing that I think we really enjoyed about The Winter Soldier is it felt like just a straight up action movie with Captain America in it. Maybe this will be kind of like a more of a spy-ish 007-ish type of movie with superheroes in it. That would be cool.
It would be. I mean, I agree. Like, Winter Soldier is a political thriller action film, and mm-hmm. and then they just, instead of like, you know, they just crossed out the name on the script and put in Captain America or, you know, Black Widow and so on and so forth. I'm really excited for Civil War. The more I hear about it, the more like I feel better about it with mm-hmm. all the people. What I've read is that this focuses around Bucky, the search for Bucky, the Winter Soldier, because we know from Winter Soldier that the Winter Soldier killed Tony Stark's parents because he was hired to do so. And
wait, they said that in the movie?
Yeah, it was hinted at in by the Zola, whenever he did those screen flashes.
Oh, wow, I had no idea. Well, that's actually kind of big, because that could bring up a big point of contention, because you have Captain America's basically best friend, the Winter Soldier, and then you have Iron Man, who has a very good reason to hate him, so that will be one way to make them clash. I don't necessarily see the entire plot revolving around Bucky. I could see maybe just one of the acts, maybe like the first act, they're trying to hunt him down, because that would kind of be a good way to connect the first movie and the second movie. But either way, I think Civil War is going to end up being kind of the Avengers movie that I wanted. And that's not dumping on Ultron. But, you know, as we talked at in length in our Ultron episode, there were some things that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But, you know, I think Civil War is shaping up to be the movie that I was really, really hoping for. But either way, it's just a whole bunch of just like goodness just being thrown on me. I mean, we get these Marvel movies just constantly every year, so I can't complain either way. I'm getting all these comic book movies, and I love it.
Yeah, you're getting exactly what we want. And next year is going to be huge, whichever way we look at it. We got some more news for movies next year coming up.
Oh yeah, I mean we talk about all the time about how 2016 is going to be gigantic. So this podcast is going to be very necessary for people out there to keep up with what's going on. I mean, at least for me, it helps me check in on the news every week because, like, there's no way I can keep up with this. Luckily, I have you around that curates all this for me.
I do. I mean, it's just like a sixth sense of, like, when comic book news is posted.
And I go the hairs on the back of your neck start to raise. Yeah. You're just like, oh, no, another promo art of Iron Man has dropped.
Oh, man, we do have more promo art of Iron Man. How did you know?
Oh, man, the hairs on my neck.
Oh, my gosh, you might want to get those shaved. Get that haircut. But, yeah, we have another image of Iron Man, and I found out what that watermark stands for on these images. And I don't remember what it was anymore.
Oh.
It's like Hero Hype or something like that.
Oh, okay. Is it just a website?
It's like a guy who leaks stuff.
Oh, okay.
I'm not really, I don't remember now, but I saw it the other day whenever this was posted, because I got it out of his Instagram.
Do you think his business card says professional leaker?
Probably. It probably does.
That's an unfortunate business title.
How about we fancy up Secret Teller?
Secret teller. Yeah, that's a little bit more acceptable.
Whistleblower, it's a little too far, but I mean, it's along those lines.
Yeah. But anyway, this Iron Man costume is kind of along the same lines of what we've been getting with Captain America's, where it's kind of more of the same with some tweaks.
Yeah, again, like it's kind of got like that like four-sided shape around his, you know, chest piece, mm-hmm. and these little like lines of blue lights all over the body.
Yeah, I think those are really cool. I think visually that's going to look really interesting when he's kind of brawling with people, because you're going to visually like see his limbs move around, you know, with these tracking lights basically on him.
Yeah, I honestly think they have some sort of functionality, mm-hmm. depending on what it may be, like invisibility or biometric scanning or some sort of dampeners of some sort.
Yeah, that will be pretty cool. And I'm looking forward to see if he does have any, like, new powers added. Because that's actually one of the things that I've kind of noticed. You know, we've seen these heroes so many times now. We've seen them fight. You know, what other new creative ways can you get them fighting with each other? I mean, I guess there's unique ways that you can film it. But how do you get them doing different things? Like, that's one thing I really liked about Winter Soldier. It was kind of the first time you really got to see Captain America use his shield in a more unique way. He was throwing it more like a boomerang. You know, you could kind of see how he had the ability to make it do whatever he wanted it to do. Like, he took down a freaking, like, Quinjet or whatever by throwing it into the engine. That was really cool. You know, but with Tony, you know, you basically have his repulsor rays, and he's got some missiles and stuff. You know, are we going to see his, like, Iron Legion come back and fight for him, or is he just going to be just him and his suit that's connected to him? I don't know. I want to see him have some new moves.
Yeah, they seem to upgrade his armor, you know, almost every movie. And the mm-hmm. Age of Ultron didn't really expand on that as much as I wanted it to. Because mm-hmm. He just got a new suit, essentially. They didn't tell us what the difference was. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you can kind of look, you know, in Iron Man 2, he got that laser move that was really cool where he spun around and cut them all in half. Mm-hmm. And in Avengers, he got more of those lasers that he used a lot of.
And he got the suit that could kind of fly to him and connect to him as he's, like, falling out of the tower.
Yeah, yeah. So I agree with you. I want to see some more cool things that they're doing with his abilities as he grows as a character.
Yeah, so we'll have to see if our speculation turns around. But hopefully these little lights on him do something cool.
Yeah, that actually is great, because it joins us into our next thing, speculation.
Ooh.
Speculation for this Spider-Man movie. Ooh.
Man, so it looks like we have a list of possible Spider-Mans. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about what happened here with these screen testers.
So what has happened is Spider-Man, they're screen testing for Spider-Man. That means they're down to, like, the last people. Mm-hmm. We gave a list of 6 people a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, mm-hmm. of, you know, potential finalists, and now they moved on to screen testing. 2 of those people from our list have made it. Asa Butterfield, I forget, I think that's how you pronounce it.
I think that's right.
And Tom Holland. Great. Everyone's pretty sure Butterfield's going to get the part, whatever. Mm-hmm. But 4 other new people that you may never have heard of have joined the list, because they're relatively, like, newcomers.
Oh, okay.
Judah Lewis, Matthew Lentz, Charlie Plummer, and Charlie Rowe. Again, they got these, like, multiple names all over the place. Yeah. But they flew them to Oklahoma to do a screen test. And, you know, screen tests is where, like, they give them some parts to memorize, and they're supposed to embody the character in front of it, and they film it. Mm-hmm. Not, like, to final product, but, you know, to see how they work on camera.
Yeah, I mean, man, that's how you keep something secret. You fly these people to the middle of the country. They're like, there's no one going to be out here that's going to spoil any of this for us. But then the list leaks anyway.
Right. So, I mean, Oklahoma, right? Like, people are like, oh, well, they went to Oz. And you're like, no, that's Kansas, Toto. But whatever. yeah, I mean, I don't know what to think of this list. I'm ready for Marvel to announce it. Mm-hmm. Will they announce before San Diego Comic-Con? I doubt it.
Oh, well, interesting that you bring that up.
But they're not going.
I had the opportunity to meet somebody last night who was a pronounced, like, geek reporter. She had written on some publications, and she's just kind of like a freelance writer. But she was saying that the reason why we're not going to be seeing Marvel Studios at Comic-Con is that they're probably saving all of their goods for the little Disney conference.
D23.
Yeah. So and she said, I guess this is kind of off topic, but she thinks that they're going to be announcing a lot of really big theme park news for Disney and Marvel together. And so they think, because I know right now, I think it's Universal Studios
yes.
has like the theme park rights, but it sounds like that those are going to be expiring, because I think now Universal is getting the rights for Nintendo characters, I believe. I'm not 100% sure on that. So I guess Disney will be getting those rights back. So I think that'll be cool. So, you know, I guess maybe they're going to save this casting news for then. I don't know if it could even go that long. I feel like the buzz is so big right now. They just got to bring it out, because it's big enough.
I tell you what, D23 is, I've always said D23 is where they do their biggest announcements for Marvel. Mm-hmm. I mean, SCCC, they didn't go last year. SCCC kind of took over, and there was some Age of Ultron screen. But I think D23 is where they're going to go from now on, because Marvel doesn't need a Comic-Con to make their big announcements.
Mm-hmm.
As we saw with Phase 3, they were like, we're going to have a meeting on Tuesday, and it was like a Monday. And they're like, okay, whatever. And that's where they announced all their Phase 3 movies.
Yeah, and that's usually what they did at Comic-Con. So, I mean, I guess this could be a good thing for Comic-Con, because people are always complaining that Comic-Con isn't enough about the comics anymore. So Marvel will still be there in the capacity of comic books. But anyway, I think the Butterfield news is at its peak right now, so they might as well just announce it. I think if they're going to wait all the way till their Disney conference, they better, like, show him, like, in some sort of capacity of, like, promo art, him in the costume or something like that. It's got to be a bigger reveal than just, like, oh, this is going to be our new Spider-Man. Give us a little bit more.
I think they will, because I think Civil War will be done filming by then, and mm-hmm. he will have had his role, so they'll have the costume finalized. And it'll be like Black Panther last year.
Mm-hmm.
They'll announce the actor and concept art for the suit.
Oh man, that would be big.
And that would be a very solid way, like, and one more thing from Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Spider-Man. If you guys know who you want it to be Spider-Man coming forward, I've heard a lot of people like, oh, they're rebooting Spider-Man. Why do they need to put him in high school? Blah blah blah. Well, whatever. It's Marvel's gonna do what they want to do, and I trust them.
Yeah, and plus they got years that they're going to add to the Spider-Man, because they're not just going to do one and done. He's going to be with Marvel Studios for probably like definitely five plus years. So if they cast a 15-year-old right now, I think all of these people are over 15 anyway. But if they cast a 15-year-old, he's going to be 20 years old eventually in the movie, so
yeah,
you gotta start him young.
And that's great about Marvel, is they use real time. Like, you know, between Avengers and Avengers 2, it was actually 3 years in
mm-hmm.
the movie. So that's cool. Yeah, I'm going to jump in. Daredevil's next.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of some interesting stuff going on here. Is that season 2, there are some videos of Elektra auditions that were available, but they're taken down. So now we have like the script that they were reading to have Elektra be in Daredevil season 2.
Uh-huh. I think this is really cool, because if you paid attention enough in some of their college flashbacks, they mentioned that Matt had like a Greek love affair or something like that. I don't remember the exact quote what it was, but basically they hinted that Elektra was in this universe.
Yeah, and this dialogue that you can read, you know, on our link here is actually kind of smart.
Mm-hmm.
The Elektra versus a thug is interesting, but like, she's smart, she's intelligent, she's not the 2003 version, and her and the Murdoch, like, their dialogue going back and forth is really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's flirting, but it's like, you know, like Sherlock level flirting, like
mm-hmm.
she's paying attention to things, he can pay attention to things, and it goes back and forth. So I'm excited to see Elektra come out. I want to hear who they're casting for it. If it comes out the same time it did next year, we should probably hear that pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me think that who's ever cast might be somewhat unknown, because as you said, these videos were posted but taken down very quickly. But that doesn't mean people didn't see it. So obviously, whoever they saw reading these lines was not very familiar looking, you know. You know, sometimes we get these casting news of these people that haven't had much movie work in the past, or just any work in Hollywood, you know, they're just kind of getting their start. So if you just see them by their face with no mention of what their name is, there's a good chance that you're not going to know who they are. So it makes me think that we might be getting an unknown for Elektra.
Yeah, and that would be okay, because I think only Night Nurse and Kingpin were the only knowns, like big names, mm-hmm. when Daredevil started. And Charlie Cox embodied that perfectly, as we can tell. Foggy Nelson, I can't even think of the girl's name now. Deborah Ann Wall, whatever character was in the game, or not the game, the movie, or show. I think Daredevil is going to be one of those movie, or I keep doing this, TV series I go back and rewatch this summer.
Oh, yeah. I think I mentioned that last week, that I'm looking forward to rewatching it. I think so far Daredevil has been my favorite piece. I don't know. I think it has been my favorite piece of comic book media this calendar year so far.
Above Kingsman?
That's the thing. That's what I was trying to think. I was like, was it better than Kingsman? It's a little apples and oranges, because you're comparing TV and movies, and they're totally different properties. I mean, I had a lot of fun watching Kingsman, that's for sure. But it didn't quite reach the depth that Daredevil got to. So I think right now, you know, those two are like my favorite for sure. But yeah, Daredevil just really hit home for me. But I have been hearing more and more often, you know, every week I feel like I see a comment online, or I hear from someone that I know that like, oh, does the show pick back up? You know, I'm only halfway through it. Does it get better? And I'm just trying to think, like, I was so engaged with every single episode. I don't really know where people are falling off in this first season. Like, are people just too, are they just too busy that they just can't finish it? You know, I don't really know what's taking people out, because if I remember right, I mean, one of the best episodes, is it like in the middle of the season where they introduce Stick?
Yeah, it's the exact middle.
Yeah, and he's like one of the more entertaining characters in the whole show, so it's just like, he's right dab in the middle, so I mean, like, you should keep it back up, you know? So, I don't know, maybe, you know, if anyone out there, if you felt like the season, you know, lulled somewhere in the middle, let us know exactly where it was, because, you know, I'd be interested to know when I go back and rewatch it if I feel that.
I tell you, whenever I did my review, and a lot of people I know stopped at episode 9 and 10, I think it lost a lot of steam there before it got into the finale, because I'm not knocking against it. It's just, you know, if you watch a regular TV show every week, like, you're gonna lose some steam. Lord knows, I mean, as a fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., did that lose some steam in places?
Yeah,
I think I'm gonna say when you rewatch it, look for episodes 9 and 10.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, as everyone knows, we crammed it all into one weekend and we got it all done. So I never really felt it. It really just felt like one unified experience to me. Just like, it felt like a weekend long TV show. And I, you know, obviously I loved it. So we'll have to see if anything can dethrone Daredevil this year, comic book wise. I mean, I think Ant-Man will still be fun, but I'll be surprised if it's that good to dethrone Daredevil.
Jessica Jones will probably be something you need to watch out for. Since that's coming out later this year as well.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's still filming, so there's some set photos out there from that, but I mean, nothing interesting. Like, when Daredevil was filming, their like leaked photos were kind of boring too. So I keep your eye out for Jessica Jones, but I'm right up there with you. Television wise, Daredevil wins. Movie wise, Kingsman wins.
Yeah, but obviously, Star Wars is kind of out of the category. Because, you know, not necessarily comic booky, but that's just going to destroy everything at the end of the year.
You can't, like, even when we thought of Avengers 2, like, I still didn't hold it up there as high as Star Wars will.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and then, like, especially considering the Star Wars trailer in front of Ultron was, like, really one of the best parts of sitting in that theater was just the hype of that trailer. So, oh, man, Star Wars is going to be crazy, man.
We got Star Wars news, so let's get to this next bit of Marvel news, and we'll come right back to Star Wars, so you can keep your hype going.
Ooh, yeah.
Doctor Strange coming out next year, another big 2016 movie. Tilda Swinton is rumored to be the Ancient One in the movie. This has caused a lot of controversy, of course.
Okay, now lay it on me, because I'm not too familiar with the Ancient One. So, and I have not heard any of this controversy yet.
It's funny, because I didn't hear the controversy until, like, my friend Brian brought it up on Friday. But Tilda Swinton, as we all know, Snowpiercer is probably her biggest comic book movie. She was also in Constantine.
And the last time I saw her was Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yes, Grand Budapest Hotel. But the Ancient One is the person who trains Stephen Strange in the mystic arts. He takes him in, trains him, and he picks him to be his successor as the Sorcerer Supreme.
So I'm assuming the controversy is the fact that it's a woman and not a man.
No. The Ancient One is very Eastern.
Oh, okay. So that's where it is.
Yeah. So like it's I don't care if it was Tilda Swinton looks like a man anyway. I don't care which way you slice it. I mean, she's androgynous. She's very androgynous looking. I don't mean this in a bad way. You can ask my friend Luke Baker. He's like, I want her to play every part in Doctor Strange. I'm like, stop. Just stop.
So she's got the talent.
Yeah, she's very, very talented. I would love to see her play the Ancient One, just because, I mean, it's not a race thing or a sex thing. It's like, I think she'd be a good actress.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of people are like, well, the Ancient One is, you know, Eastern descent and very Chinese, you know, like Kung Fu master looking. Got the long goatee and stuff. And they're like, you can't do that. Why make her white? And people are looking for controversy either way you cut it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear this kind of outrage when Heimdall was black.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, people just want to find something to complain about, I think. And I didn't hear it. Honestly, in the comic book forums, people were like, awesome, let's do this.
Yeah, I think either way you slice it, there's going to be a weird way to look at it. You know, because, I mean, honestly, this character was created back in the day. I don't really know how old the Ancient One is in the comic book history. Like
60s
like,
or 70s,
okay,
yeah.
60s or 70s. So the thing is, you have to realize when the artist or the writer was creating this character, they're like, okay, we need a character that knows these mystical spirits, you know, this magic side of the world with kind of this fighting ability. Oh, we're going to go ahead and make them Eastern because all Asian people know karate. You know, that's kind of what they were thinking. You know, everything wasn't as politically correct back then, and they were kind of just going for the most stereotypical character. So, you know, whether that was the right move, I don't know. So you don't necessarily have to hold on to these really old stereotypes. Obviously, they didn't do it out of malice back in the day, and I'm just totally guessing off the top of my head. But the character's origin of being Eastern was, I'm almost positive it was due to the stereotype back then.
Right, and it's, you know, again, like you may hear, the Ancient One has not been in any Doctor Strange comics I've read recently.
Uh-huh.
And I've been a big Doctor Strange follower for the past few years. And so I don't know, like, if they redo the Ancient One, that's great, like, whatever.
Uh-huh.
My theory is that she's going to be a character called Morgana Le Fay.
Mm-hmm.
Who actually was in the 1978 Doctor Strange TV movie pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this in our history of Marvel Studios, because that character was actually played by Jessica Walters,
mm-hmm.
who you may know as the mom in Arrested Development,
uh-huh.
or Archer's mom in Archer,
uh-huh.
or Fran the dinosaur in Dinosaurs.
Okay.
Sorry.
Reaching back for that one.
I don't know who our audience is. I just want to make sure everyone knows who she is.
Okay.
But I mean, Morgana Le Fay is, you know, an enemy of Doctor Strange, and she was been on screen before, so I could totally see them bringing her back if they want to use.
She's got a menacing face, so I feel like she could be a villain.
Yeah, right. And, or, you know, like someone who starts off good but then ends up being a villain because.
Oh, man, I really hope Tilda Swinton doesn't listen to our show because we've just called her an evil-looking man.
Yeah. If you're listening, Tilda, we apologize, but we love your acting.
Yeah.
Grand Budapest was my favorite movie last year.
Yeah, and I'm sure she's too famous, busy, and talented to be listening to us right now anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah, very much so. If you guys have any opinions or thoughts on this, live tweet us or email us. At superheroslate@gmail.com because we want to hear your opinion on Tilda Swinton being the Ancient One in Doctor Strange. I mean, we have our opinions, but I want to know your guys's.
Yeah, we love the feedback.
We do. Back to Star Wars.
Yes.
Hype.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hype. Tell me about the news we got this week, Mike.
So Andy Serkins, or Serkis, I'm always throwing an N in his last name for some reason. Well, anyway, his role in the movie has been revealed as Supreme Leader Snoke. But as we see here with this motion capture set photo that we have, is it's not going to be a physical, real-life character. It's going to be CG.
Yes. We remember Andy Serkis from Age of Ultron. He played Ulysses Klaue, which was a great part for him. That was awesome. Yeah.
He can pull off either role, physical or CG, for sure.
Right, because we remember him as Gollum in Lord of the Rings. That was all CG. He's been Caesar in the Planet of the Apes movies recently.
Uh-huh.
So he's got motion capture down to art. He created that that industry in itself, showing that it actually works really well.
Oh, yeah.
But what we see here, his voice was actually in the first Star Wars trailer, if we remember. He was the one saying there's been an awakening.
Mm-hmm.
The light side, the dark side. That's actually Andy Serkis's voice. And Supreme Leader Snoke sounds like he may have some ties to the Force.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, with a name like Supreme Leader and kind of the more of a menacing face he's pulling off here in the photo.
That is such a face.
Yeah, I'm assuming villain, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. They haven't told. All we know is his name per, I think, Variety or Vanity Fair.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that face on that guy looking at, it chills me to the bone looking at this image of him just in motion capture outfit.
Oh yeah, I think he's gonna make an awesome villain. I mean, I'm kind of curious. You know, if you think about making a villain in the Star Wars universe, and as much as J.J. Abrams has been touting using practical effects, you know, it makes me wonder: is a villain character that's totally CG, is that necessarily the right call? You know, CG characters can work. But, you know, making him like the lead villain, which is what we're speculating, I don't know. Maybe this CG, maybe it's just for making him look older. Maybe he's going to play like an old emperor type character and they just have to mocap his face to add wrinkles to it. I don't know. Maybe that's something a makeup department could do easier. So I don't, I feel like there's lots of ways you could approach this.
Oh, I'm going to stop you. I don't think he's the main villain. I think he's like the emperor. I don't consider Emperor Palpatine the main villain in the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I consider Darth Vader the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to be like an emperor, but we have Adam Driver's character, the Sith guy with the cross sword, mm-hmm. lightsaber, being the main villain, the actual force of the Snoke.
So you don't think Adam Driver might be answering to the orders of someone else, like maybe Serkis?
No, I do. I think he's answering. I think Snoke is telling him what to do, mm-hmm. but I don't think we're going to see a lot of Snoke. I think he's going to be like shrouded in mystery
okay.
for a lot of it. Like, you know, who is this person who still knows of the Force, and why does he know it's awakening?
Yeah, and I mean, you definitely don't call someone Supreme Leader and expect him to be like a good guy.
Right.
I mean, that's basically what Kim Jong-il calls himself, is the Supreme Leader. So
Supreme Leader Skywalker is not becoming of him.
Yeah, not exactly democratic of him.
Yeah.
But either way, I think what I'm looking forward to most in this movie is kind of how the dark side resurges. You know, because we saw the rebels in the last movie win. You know, all the good guys won, everything kind of went back to normal. And we're obviously having a gap of time here. I don't know if they've officially said how much time is in between the sixth movie and the seventh movie, but what do you think it's going to be like? Maybe like 30, 40, 50 years, something like that?
I think it's like 20 to 30.
Okay. So either way, there's been time for the dark side to kind of find a new plan. So I'm kind of curious what happened to the dark side, because we all know what happened to the light side. Things turned out well for them. They're rebuilding and stuff like that. I want to know about the dark side. How are they coming back? Because they were big. Now they got crushed by the Force. You know, maybe they'll just kind of bring up the fact that, you know, you can't have light without the dark, so no matter what you do, you can never kill the dark side.
Yeah, so I looked up, it's 30 years, approximately.
Okay.
And as we all know, the Sith had a rule of two mm-hmm. at this point in time, where there is one master and one apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only two Sith, and we saw them both die off in Return of the Jedi. But if you watch, I've been reading the new Star Wars comics, mm-hmm. and I watched all the trilogy, the Clone Wars cartoon series.
Mm-hmm.
Palpatine and Vader both like take apprentices and other people under their wing and violate this rule of two.
Okay.
Lord knows there's probably a bunch of people out there in that time frame who are working to still take down the rebels. I don't think the Empire ended with the Emperor was killed. Mm-hmm. I think it still like went on, but it gave the rebels a big push to completely
Just severely fractured.
Yeah. So, Star Wars.
To the far reaches of the galaxy.
We're totally excited for Star Wars. Don't doubt that one bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited. I have at my feet right now, I have Star Wars Trivial Pursuit. The collector trilogy, or the classic trilogy collector's edition. So, 4, 5, and 6.
We're totally going to play some of that when the movie comes out.
And when you listen to this, it will be June 1st. And June 1st begins our delve into our project that we're working on. Can we mention that real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so we've done History of Marvel Studios, right? You can find that on Comic UI and Pickled Comics. I love doing that. I don't know about you. It was really fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we took about 3 months, 4 months to do it all.
Yeah, it took a while.
This time we're doing Star Wars before Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Star Wars has so much history behind it. I mean, there's not going to be a lack of material for sure.
Definitely. And we're going to take about a month per movie to break it down and find the history of Star Wars before the new one comes out and do our collaboration project.
Yeah. So we'll have some cool blog posts from you, and we'll have some cool images and timelines on my side. So it'll be really cool.
Yeah. And starting June is when I do my first movie. So.
Okay. Well, man. All right, I'm excited. So I guess we'll have to leave the Star Wars behind for now. So what do we got up next?
Okay, Apocalypse coming out next year as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hot damn. A mutant called Caliban will appear in the film, as we found out.
Mm-hmm.
A fun thing about him and his power, he can sense mutants within like a range, a certain like range of things. So he knows where mutants are or who is and who isn't a mutant. And in the comics, he was Death after Archangel like left the Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the guy doesn't seem to have too much really interesting history. He kind of just kind of seems like a thug for thug's sake, you know, when you need him. I don't know if he's had a whole lot of effect in the universe.
Not to my knowledge. He's kind of just a muscle, like muscle guy. But we've heard more and more mutants appear in this film.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to hear a mutant who has a direct tie to Apocalypse kind of pop up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he will be one of the Horsemen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably. Well, I'm sure we're going to know who all the Horsemen are going to be before the movie actually comes out. So, you know, the news will roll out slowly and we'll start collecting it.
Totally. And we have another picture of Xavier, the character who plays James McAvoy, bald, walking down the street. He looks kind of menacing without hair, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, a little bit. He's a little buff, too. You know, I don't remember. He was confined back to the wheelchair after Days of Future Past, right?
Correct, because he stopped taking the injection that stopped his power.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, he was in the wheelchair. Now we're going to learn how he loses his hair and gains the original X-Men.
Yeah, he pulls off the bald head pretty well, though. So I think this is good news.
Yes, San Diego Comic-Con, I expect a lot out of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next, Fantastic Four. Will the Thing have blue eyes?
Yeah, what's going on here?
That's a controversy I came into on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Two promotional images. We will put them up. I'm going to put them up side by side for you guys. One is a screenshot of a YouTube video that was taken down.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we only have the screenshot here with the YouTube thing in the middle. But obviously the Thing has blue eyes in this photo. Okay,
mm-hmm.
The image from the posters and like the original like where he's beating someone down in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously has like brownish, like hazel eyes.
Well, I think I'm more curious what this video was and why it was taken down.
It was an international trailer that leaked early.
Okay.
So it had more footage,
mm-hmm.
but definitely not something we were supposed to see just yet.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe this is more of an effect of maybe just the poster. Whoever was the artist, the graphic artist behind putting the poster together, maybe he just removed a little too much blue from the eyes. I'm not too sure. Or, you know, maybe they just make him blue, you know, when they want him to be more human and relate to him. And maybe when he turns into a giant rage rock monster, you know, the blue goes away.
I could also see it being a reflection on the movie poster rather than the video.
Yeah, that could be too. I think it's always more interesting when stuff gets pulled online because it's stuff you're not supposed to see. So I wonder if the next trailer we're going to get will be that international one and we're going to see more information on what's going to happen in this movie.
Yeah, we need one more trailer before this movie drops to get everyone on board. And honestly, I honestly didn't care about the eye thing, apparently, but that's the thing. It's part of the Thing, apparently. Like, the ever-loving, hard exterior, blue-eyed thing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I could care less either way.
Either way, it gives us an opportunity to talk about Fantastic Four. And as I'll say every single time we talk about Fantastic Four, I'm going in with low expectations and hoping for more. That's the only way I think I can do it.
Cautiously optimistic. That's how we describe that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I'm really optimistic about is Deadpool.
Yeah.
Are you excited for Deadpool?
I think that's fair.
Good, because it's finished filming. They actually have a movie now.
Yeah.
And they added they officially added Colossus. We've been speculating at this for months. Mm-hmm. But they finally cast Colossus. He was actually on set filming. We just didn't know his name. Yeah. He was in like a gray suit. Andre Chakotu.
Yeah, the dude is, man, he is tall.
He's 6 foot, 10 inches tall.
Whew.
And he is playing Colossus in Deadpool. We've seen Daniel Cudmore play Colossus for, I think, 3 or 4 movies.
Uh-huh.
And Deadpool exists in the X-Men universe as far as we know, but they recast him, and he is a big dude.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ryan Reynolds is already kind of tall, so I think they just needed possibly someone even taller. I mean, I looked this dude up, and he doesn't really have much film cred to him. It looks like he's actually going to be in the Warcraft movie coming out. So he's definitely got mass on screen. So I think this is cool. I mean, Colossus should be a giant dude. So 6'10", holy crap, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and the first teaser trailer for the movie should come with Fantastic Four on August 7th per a leaked trailer like sheet.
Yeah, but... Of course, as we all know, the trailer before the movies don't really mean much anymore because the trailer will probably drop on the Tuesday before the movie comes out.
Yeah, and it's Deadpool, so I don't know what to expect. How much of a teaser will this be?
Yeah, so I don't know. I think, because it's funny, teaser trailers are usually supposed to be, not supposed to be, but they're usually kind of dark and mysterious and get you hype. I think for a Deadpool movie, you make the teaser trailer really funny and you make it out of bounds. You know, this is going to be really cool because the teaser trailer, all the marketing that we've seen for this movie has been really fun. I saw online a couple weeks ago that the official Deadpool Twitter account is only following one account, and it's the Hello Kitty account. And that's just really funny because that's a conscious decision that they've made in the marketing department to just make everything a joke, just make fun of every sort of outlet. So I'm hoping the teaser trailer is really unique.
Yeah, I honestly think it's going to be like, I don't know if you remember the Iron Man 3 extended look with the Super Bowl a couple years ago in 2012, I think, or 2013.
No, I don't think I remember.
Yeah, so at the Super Bowl, there's an extended look at Iron Man 3, and mm-hmm. it's just Robert Downey Jr. looking into the camera for an extended period of time. And he's like, that's your extended look. And
oh, man.
I think something very punny or, you know, goofy will go on like that. So cross our fingers.
Mm-hmm. I almost have a feeling the teaser trailer is just going to be like Deadpool just talking to the audience, just talking to the people on the other side of the screen.
I think they're not even going to show Deadpool. It's going to be like that video they did with Mario Lopez where we don't see Deadpool until like the very last few seconds. So
yeah,
we are speculating, but I am excited to see this.
Wild speculation. I love it.
Yes. Wow. So, anyway, we're going to jump into like one of your favorite movies ever.
Oh God.
TMNT 2.
Man, this is turning into more of a joke how much I love these movies than actually how much I got out of them.
No, it really is definitely a running joke and I love it. Yeah. I love that. We have a running joke with you now. We don't have a nickname, but a running joke is half the battle.
Yeah, good enough.
So we get 3 pictures this week of TMNT 2.
Mm-hmm.
First is the new Shredder.
Yeah.
He looks a little more slimmed down than the movie version.
Yeah, the funny part is just scroll all the way down to the bottom. So, like, he's pretty menacing. He's got the sweet, like, black armor on. And then, like, at the very bottom, there's a backpack with some, like, protein drink. You know, he's just a normal dude that has to hit the gym and get some protein in him. You know?
It's very teal color, too. For such a dark person, he gets a deal.
He hits up the Whole Foods.
I bet he knows Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I they probably get along.
Yeah, Gotham's a great place.
They have they have different views on things, but you know I think they appreciate each other's routines.
You can't have one without the other.
Really. Yeah, their workouts.
Yeah. So Shredder, there we go. It's not a final look, but it's a start. What's really going to get you next is Bebop and Rocksteady.
Oh my gosh, these guys.
So we announced last week about Bebop's, you know, being cast.
Uh-huh.
But now we see that Rocksteady has also been cast. I believe, maybe I have that right. I think it's the right way.
Uh-huh.
WWE star Sheamus is playing Rocksteady.
Yeah, and these pictures are hilarious. I have to assume that this is pre-mutagen. That these guys are not going to stay looking like this.
Right. So we have Bebop with a purple mohawk and some like teeth around his neck and some spike bracelets and a chain and like some chaps
mm-hmm.
and leather vests. And then it looks like Rocksteady's the same, just a leather vest with spikes on it.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, these two are going to become the final versions we know, the mutated versions.
Yeah, I mean, it's really funny. It's almost like they just looked at the characters and they're just like, how would we do a shitty cosplay Halloween costume of these guys? And that's kind of what they look like. Obviously, we're not supposed to look at these guys and take them seriously. I mean, they're probably going to be like just like some chumps, some thugs that are just not successful at being thugs. And the only way out, the only way to glory they see is maybe a mutagen. So, yeah, these guys look goofy as hell right now. But I'm more interested in obviously seeing the finalized CG characters.
Totally. I like this before. I want to see the after. Give it to us. Maybe they'll do beatboxing on an escalator instead.
Yeah. That'll be my favorite part of that movie.
Exactly. I'll probably watch TMNT 2, the first one, this summer. Now I got some free time on my hands, so
yeah, you'll have to now. You'll think about me the whole time.
I will. I when do I not think about you, anyways?
So. Oh, you're so sweet.
Oh, another movie that's been crossing my mind a lot is actually Tron 3. Mm-hmm. It's Disney pulled the plug on it, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know if we ended up reporting on it or not. I don't know if this came before we started the show, but yeah, there was. I don't know if it was an official announcement or if it was just a strong rumor that we were getting Tron 3, but. It looks like no more.
Yeah, I really enjoy the first Tron.
Mm-hmm.
The first Tron sequel. Not the first Tron. But I really enjoyed it. The soundtrack, Daft Punk, they did a great job. More people probably know the soundtrack than they know the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really fun. I enjoyed it. And I was really hoping they'd do this three. And it had Olivia Munn. And I think it was Garrett Hedlund.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde. There we go. That mm-hmm. one. I get them confused. They look pretty close. I was really excited for this, but you know, Disney's like, well, after Tomorrowland kind of crashed and burned, we're not gonna do this one either.
Well, honestly, I was kind of surprised Tron 3 was announced to begin with, because I mean, there was so much time in between the first Tron and the second Tron, but we kind of understood it, you know, like, oh, the Tron 2, they're just kind of like rebooting it almost, you know, bringing it back from the dead with these updated effects, you know, we get it, that's cool, and we're elaborating on like, oh, it's the character's son. But with the third one, it's just like, why are we getting a third one? I feel like it's been a long time between the second one and third one. Obviously not as long, but it's like, these two are too far detached. Is there any hype out there for a Tron 3? But, you know, I think people were a little optimistic, you know. They had fun with the second one, but I'm not surprised that it got pulled. I don't think anyone's too bummed.
Yeah, I'm probably in a minority with that. But the Olivia Wilde character, Cora, she actually came into the real world, and they were going to follow her story, mm-hmm. becoming a computer program, becoming a person. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have been much more interesting than just revisiting, you know, Tron 30 years later,
mm-hmm.
Like they did with the first one. But yeah, whatever. Another thing people are bummed about, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen's coming back.
they're bummed about it?
Yeah, like, why would you want to bring that thing back from the dead?
I vaguely remember the movie. I mean, it was kind of fun. I kind of like the aesthetic of those superheroes in that kind of time and environment. I don't really remember it too much. I think whenever it came out, I was probably young, didn't really have much of a sense of quality of movie. But I don't know. It could be cool.
I think I own the first one on my list because my DVD shelf, because I try to own all the comic book adaptations that aren't DC per se, even though I own a lot of DC movies. But it was Sean Connery's last acting movie. It was kind of a letdown in terms, like, visually it was really cool. I enjoy some of the parts of it, like the Jekyll and Hyde aspect, but some of it just doesn't make sense. I think it was poor writing. Uh-huh. And I think hopefully if they can do this and they can do it right and learn their lessons, we're going to get a good movie.
Uh-huh.
So cross our fingers that maybe we'll see. A lot of people will probably shoot us for even saying that. Oh, well. Do you ever watch Johnny Quest as a kid?
Oh, man. I don't know. Oh, man. My mouth. My
it's
words.
Today. It's just it's us today.
Okay. Anyway, I didn't watch the original Johnny Quest, like the old Hanna-Barbera cartoons, but they did like a reboot in like the 90s, I want to say, you know, with like updated like animation and stuff like that. Just a brand new Johnny Quest show. I watched that one a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it I liked it. It was fun.
I think it was on Toonami. Johnny Quest was really cool. I mean, it spawned the Venture Brothers, which is just a parody of it.
Yeah.
And it felt like I don't know, a kid James Bond.
Yeah, and it was just like it was always full of adventures, or I would say like kind of a kid Indiana Jones almost.
How about mix them together?
Yeah, mix them together, and then you got like a fun little time going on.
Yeah, so Johnny Quest, and I forget his little stereotypical Indian friend's name.
Haji.
Yeah, even a worse name. Poor fella. But I remember the CG version, and I really like that one. I do remember that one from the 90s. So hopefully. Mm-hmm. It comes in. Robert Rodriguez is to helm a live action version of this.
Oh man, Robert Rodriguez, that guy is just—he makes some fun, strange movies.
Yes, he worked on Spy Kids. That worked out well for him, so I think he can probably do this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you have any doubts on that?
I don't know. It'll be kind of interesting because Robert Rodriguez, when he makes a movie, he kind of takes full control over it. You know, he's usually doing from A to B, has entire control. You know, sometimes I think some of the projects he's done recently, I think he's funded quite a bit of it. You know, that could be totally wrong. But it'll be kind of interesting to see if maybe, because Johnny Quest is a property owned by somebody else. So someone else is going to have some say in how it's made. So maybe that'll work well with Robert. Maybe it won't work well with him. You know, we'll kind of have to see, but he seems to be a guy that likes to control a lot of his product. But as we kind of see, some of the stuff he's been putting out recently has not been so good.
I would watch Johnny Quest before I would watch Machete in Space. Just to throw that out there.
I'm seeing Machete in Space no matter what.
Well, of course you are. But I mean, your wife worked for Asylum, so how many of those movies have you seen?
Danny Trejo is actually in, I think, one or two of the Asylum films. I haven't seen any of them, but he's apparently a cool dude. So I will see him in Space.
All right, whatever. Maybe they'll bring him in Spy Kids. Who knows? Or not Spy Kids, Johnny Quest. Maybe yeah. He'll be Haji.
Oh, God, that'd be weird.
Yeah. Anyway, Independence Day is getting a sequel. Independence Day 2, I don't know what they're going to call it. Jeff Goldblum is coming back for it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love Jeff Goldblum.
I think you're like really good friends with him, aren't you?
he's actually a really cool dude because he plays the jazz piano at this little club in Hollywood, and we had a chance to go see him once, and he's just like super fun. Like, he's very charismatic. We listened to some good music, and like he hung out with everybody after the show. You could go up and take your picture with him, shake his hand. Super cool dude. So I mean, I think everyone can assume just watching him in a movie that he's an awesome guy. So we'll just have to see how the quality of the movie ends up going. I mean, the first one is a solid summer blockbuster action movie, but no one was raving over how intelligent or smart it was. It was just fun, you know? So I don't know what they're trying to do with the second one. Do the aliens come back? Are they even more pissed?
They do,
you know?
Come back, and they're more pissed, is what I've heard.
Yeah.
This is like when they come back again, and like, who are we going to go to? We're going to go to Jeff Goldblum. Probably not Will Smith. I don't think he's coming back for it. He's busy making poor life choices in Suicide Squad.
Oh, God.
Where he looks like Uncle Phil. but Jeff Goldblum, I wish he was in Jurassic Park in like a teaser. The new one coming out. I've heard great reviews of Jurassic Park, by the way, just to toss it out there.
Oh, wow.
The new one. Early review buzz is awesome. But I Jeff Goldblum, I haven't seen him anything recently. I'll watch him.
Yeah, he's charismatic. Oh, I would.
Grand Budapest, another Grand Budapest alum.
Oh yeah, he was great in that. He spoilers, he lost some appendages.
Yeah, that's not the only thing he lost. But yeah, that's great. So that's the last bit of news I got for the day.
Yeah, hey man, we stretched this pretty well. Man, we're just good at talking about the news.
We are. You can't shut us up. I don't know what took so long today. Like, we keep a time code on everything. I think probably Suicide Squad and Civil War took up most of our time today, if you guys wanted to know.
I think we just consciously know in the back of our heads, if we don't have a lot of news, we're just going to talk at length about things that may or may not need to be talked at length. So, but let us know if anything sounded too boring. But I think we did an effective job today.
You heard our hype for Star Wars, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's all I care about, is that we get to talk about Star Wars.
So today we're going to add in a little fun thing called trivia time.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do, trivia time.
That's our theme song. Don't expect anything else from us. We will not put anything else in. I've got this box. I bought it. It's called a trivia box for Marvel Comics. I bought it at Walmart today for $6. It's just a handful of cards. There's actually a game you can play where you win picture cards, but it's a handful of cards that have a bunch of questions of Marvel stuff on them.
Okay, give me a test. Give me a lowball question, because I don't want to seem like a fool.
Okay, great. Sam Wilson fought as an Avenger under what superhero alter ego?
Sam Wilson, that is the Falcon.
There you go. See, that's they range from basic to medium to hard. Like, any question. I'll give you another one just as another test. On the same card.
Okay.
True or false? Hala is a homeworld of the Chitauri.
Man, Chitauri. True? I don't know.
It's false. Hala is a homeworld of the Kree.
Oh, man.
So, see, it can go back and forth.
Was that an easy or a hard one?
I think that's a mid to hard one.
Oh, gosh. I don't know too many people that know planet names, but I think people will let it slide.
That's fine. So we're going to put these questions out there for you guys. This isn't me asking Mike. This isn't Mike asking me. This is for our fans, and we want you to email us, tweet us, text us a response.
If you're texting us, I want to know how you got my phone number.
A lot of people who probably listen to us are friends or family, Mike. Let's be honest.
Okay.
So first question. You ready?
Okay.
All right. What member of the Avengers married the Scarlet Witch?
Ooh, that's a good one. Okay. Do your best not to Google it.
Yeah, don't try to Google it. We want to know if you really know or not. And we'll go over the answers next week.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And there's no prizes. It's just for glory.
Yeah, we may have prizes at some point. I'm actually considering some prizes. But we want to see how many people respond first. Question number two. What Avenger joined the Guardians of the Galaxy for missions during the Marvel Now era?
I think I know that one.
That's a comic book one. Yeah. All right. And this is a true or false one. We'll end with a true or false.
Okay.
At one point, the Hulk had a persona known as Joe Fixit. True or false? So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I know that one. That one might be hard.
Yeah. So I've got this whole box, tons of questions, and I also have a book with a bunch of questions too, probably like 1,400 questions. But we want to know if you guys know. Email us. How can they get a hold of us, Mike Hero Superhero Slate?
Oh well, as always, all you have to do is visit superheroslate.com. That's where we have all the stuff. That's where we have all of our info. And that's where you can find our Twitter handles. So you can find me at Mike Royer Design on Twitter or Instagram. And as always, you can read my webcomics at Pickled Comics. And maybe I'll have to draw up something of the Batmobile getting towed. But where can they find you, Chris?
For me, you can find me at Valdan, V-A-L-D-A-N on Twitter. You can go to Comic UI where I write. A lot of our information from here come from Comic UI, but I think this covers more. We have a news page, a Facebook page, and a Twitter page. Just Comic UI, pretty basic. What I really want to do is, like, you know, I haven't seen any live tweets during our show in a while, and I'm kind of disappointed. And I'm pointing at your friend, Quinn.
some news from people. People are trying to keep up with the host we have on the show. It is like wisdom teeth removed at the end of last week. So I feel like that's either bodes well for him or does not bode well for him, because, I mean, like, hey, you might have got your teeth pulled out, but your fingers still work.
Right. I want to hear his response while he's, like, high on those drugs.
Yeah, we'll have to see what kind of feedback we get from him.
Yeah, and if not, you know, you guys live tweet us, just hashtag Superhero Slate or at Superhero Slate, or just either one or both of us.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm always the one plugging the website at the end. I want to hear what it sounds like when you plug the website.
All right. So, as always, this is a mic line here. Mm-hmm. You can go to superheroslate.com, and you can, you know, follow us on iTunes. Subscribe, rate. That always helps us. Leave a review. You can go to YouTube to subscribe. We have every video on YouTube now, and they're fun, interactive. If you don't like some news, you can click on the next bit and jump to it. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got that from Movie Fights. You can go to soundcloud.com. We're on SoundCloud. If you just want to hear the audio and you don't want to subscribe through iTunes or you have an Android, you can go to SoundCloud and get it. We are everywhere. You know, you can listen to us straight on superheroslate.com.
Yeah, straight up.
So follow us on Facebook, like us on Twitter or whatever it is.
I think you switched those around.
Oh well, hell with it.
That was good. That was good. You did a good job.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Kuro, how can they follow you? All right, sounds great. he jumped up here actually while we were doing this, so I thought he had something to say. So
can you get him to meow on the mic, and then that's how we can end the show?
Hey, Kuro, come here. No, he's disinterested.
Yeah, he's a cat. He makes his own rules.
Yeah, he just wants pets. I have a life-size black suit Spider-Man sitting on the guest bed here. I got it Dave and Buster's when I was 23 years old. Don't knock it. He's actually rubbing up against the hands on it because he thinks it's a person that's going to pet him.
You dumb cat.
Yeah. Who do you think you are, cat? No, that's silly.
Okay, I think that's a good cue.
Yeah, that's a pretty good time to leave, but I just wanted to throw that in there for people who actually don't get to watch our lives.
I think Kuro is going to be everyone's new favorite host.
Yeah, it's true. Well, next week we'll just have him do the whole podcast.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see you guys next week.
Or we won't. Okay. Oh, no, okay. See you, bye.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe.